that's not discussing the sukkah in the Achid Beis and Beis and Machlokes Rabbeinu and the Chachamim. Whether shikhar hevet is considered to be a schus, or whether it's a chova, can one apply the principle of zachum ladam shlo b'fano? Rav Meir maintains the brayse is considered to be a chova, and Rav Meir cites achilas truma as an indication that this is true. If it's an evet of a kohen, the evet is allowed to go ahead and to eat truma as a result from the shikhar that no longer is possible. So you see, in a certain extent, it's to a detriment to an evet to become a ben chorim. And the Chachamim respond and say the following, V'halo ma imirtza shalo lozuno. But what do you mean? Who says that the Adam has to supply anything at all to this Eved? So Rav Meir responds to what the Chachamim say as follows. Look, I understand. If you're telling me that it's a schus for an Eved to remain an Eved because of Mizonos, because he's supported, I understand very well the response of the Chachamim that, you know, an Adam does not have to do that. So therefore, you cannot necessarily assume that it's a schus to be an Eved. However, ma teshivuni al ha-truma. But Rav Meir says, I raised you the difficulty of truma. As an Eved of a Kohen, you can eat truma. And now you cannot. So therefore, what exactly is your answer? How did the Chachamim respond? Rav says the answer to the Chachamim is the following, that no, it's not considered to be a chova, because after all, that yachal ha-adam lamochra li-Yisrael. And therefore, he will not be able to eat in any case. That no, you're talking about achilash truma. The adon can go ahead and sell him to another adon who is not a kohen, and therefore, you will not have the right for achilash truma at all. So Tosus is bothered, Diramaskil Heshaptuni, that what exactly was the response of the Chachamim? When the Chachamim said that Ma imirtza shalozuna, what exactly did that mean? After all, we're discussing the schus that an Eved has of Achilas Truma. And the Chacham responded and says, who said the Eved has to support? He's supported by the Adon at all. So Tosus explains as follows, that the Chachamim thought when Rav Meir was raising this issue of Truma, they meant the following, that since the Eved is entitled to eat Truma, therefore that will ensure that the Eved is going to be supplied with an abundance of food. That's what Tosus writes. Since the Adon can give the Eved Truma, so therefore the Adon is not going to be stingy. The Adon will go ahead and give, right, significant food to his Eved. Why exactly is that true? Because after all, Tosus says two possibilities. Number one is that typically, Yesh Truma Harbi Lakoanim, a Kohen has much Truma, and therefore it has to be eaten appropriately. Why wouldn't an Adon share the Truma with his Eved? And then Tosa says a further possibility that only shum sheyesh mitzvah b'achilash truma. It's a mitzvah to go ahead and to consume the truma. So therefore, the Adon is going to be very generous to give it to his Eved. After all, that is an achilas mitzvah. However, that's what the Chum respondent says. It's based on the generosity of the Adon. The Adon doesn't have to give the Eved anything. Ma'imircha shalo lozuna. That's what Tosa explains. That's shaklevataria, the response of the Chachamim. You see, according to that second Chiddush that Tosus writes, Omishum Sheish Mitzvah Bachilash Truma, the following Chiddush, not only is Achilash Truma considered to be a mitzvah as opposed simply just to a heter, that's a mitzvah, no doubt, but one could argue as follows, the mitzvah Bachilash Truma, that perhaps is true when a Kohen is going ahead and eating the Truma. What about when it comes, for example, to others who a Kohen is allowed to share his truma? A Kohen can give his truma to a behemah's Kohen, Ashes Kohen, an Eved of a Kohen. Is it so obvious that in those cases that is considered to be, right, a mitzvah? If I were to tell you when the Kohen goes ahead and gives karshine truma to his behemah, I'll ask you, is that a mitzvah sachila? L'chor you would ask, no, that's not a mitzvah sachila. The chiddush of the Torah to allow the behemah's kohen to eat some types of truma, the chiddush is the following, that that is not considered to be, right, chilul kedushas kohuna. After all, I would have said, look, that the truma has kedusha, and therefore you can't use it for anything at all. The Torah tells us, nonetheless, one is allowed to go ahead and to give the truma to the behemah. That is called I chilul kedushas ha-truma. But it doesn't mean that's a mitzvah. Mitzvah is fulfilled when the behemah goes ahead and eats the truma. What about when it comes to a case of an ashes kohen, or when it comes to a case of an evet shel kohen? Is that considered to be an achilas mitzvah? Do we assume that no? That is considered to be an achilas harashus. The Torah gives the option the license of the Adon to give it to his Eved, it's not considered to be an act of being mechalal the Kedusha Satruma, but not necessarily it's considered to be a mitzvah. Boshav Shach, when Tosus writes that Omi Shemshesh mitzvah b'achilas Truma, Tosus seems to indicate that the Adon certainly is going to give an abundance of Truma to his Eved, because after all, this is a mitzvah of achilas Truma. If you look in the Mishnah Rishonah, the Mishnah Rishonah is a pirish of one of the Achronim at the very bottom of Mishnah Yishtrumos. If you look in Pereches Mishnah Aleph, the Mishnah Rishonah writes, in fact, that it is clear that there is a mitzvah sachila when an Eishes Kohen will go ahead and partake of Truma, and when the Eved of the Kohen partakes in Truma as well. It is clear, Poshub Shat, as you find in our Tosus, that that indeed is considered to be a mitzvah. The Mishnah Rishonah, however, raises the following suffix, and that is, what about as far as a bracha? Because the Rambam writes, in the very end of Hilchos Trumos, the Rambam writes, when the Kohen goes in each Truma, he recites a bracha. Would, right, the Eishes Kohen, would the Eved of the Kohen be able to go ahead and to recite that bracha, or would they not? The Mishnah Rishonah writes, what exactly is the difficulty? Why would you say that that is not the case? Because after all, the Rambam writes in Perek Tesvav Lacha Chavbeis, the very end of Hilchos Trumos, the Nusach HaBracha is Asher Kedushanam Mitzasav Vitzivanu B'Kedushaso Shel Aron, just like we have when it comes to Duchenim. And then Vitzivanu Lechol Trumo. So therefore, right, the bracha contains Kedushanam Mitzasav, again, B'Kedushaso Shel Aron. And therefore, that is the question that the Mishnah Rishonah has. A Kohen obviously can recite such a Nusach HaBracha. Can an Eved of the Kohen say, Asher Kedushanu B'Kedushaso Shel Aron? He certainly does not have a Kedushas Kohen. However, his Achila certainly stems from, it's a function of the Kedusha of the Kohen. So maybe even an Eved go ahead and recite such a bracha as well. So that's the suffix of the Mishnah Rishonah. Mishnah Rishonah writes, it is clear that an Eishes Kohen, an Eved of a Kohen, there is a mitzvah sachila, a suffix as far as bracha, almost a suffix in a technical sense, and that is because the Nusach HaBracha stresses the Kedushas Kohen, and Eishes Kohen, an Eved of a Kohen, does not have that Kedusha. If you look, for example, just in contrast, in the Zera Avram, Menachem Zemba writes, it's found in Simen Ches, in Sifkat and Gimel. He doesn't think this is the case at all when it comes to an Eved Shel Kohen. An Eved Shel Kohen is comparable to a Behemoth Kohen. After all, it is true, the Torah tells us in Parshas Emor, the Kinyan Kasvo, anyone who is acquired by the Kohen, anything that the Kohen owns, there was a Kinyan Kesed. In such a case, there is a Sus of Achilas Truma. And therefore, the Zera Avram writes the following, that the fact that an Eved of a Kohen is allowed to eat Truma, that is not necessarily a mitzvah, but rather it is a function of Kinyan Kaspo, it's a Rishus. It is not considered to be Chilul Kedushas Kohuna when the Eved of a Kohen will go ahead and eat. And Rambam Zemba writes the following, Tereno Chinami, what is true of Behemas Kohen is also true when it comes to the Eved of Kohen. It is not considered to be a case of Achila Shel Mitzvah. So this is Mufurish, right? The Machlokas, Mishnah Mishonah, the Machlokas, the Zera Avram, to what extent do we assume a mitzvah? Poshub Shah, one could argue, these are the deos that you find in our Tosos. Perhaps one could argue that not only is this simply a Machlokas, right, Amoraim, but perhaps, or a Machlokas Achronim, in terms of how to understand, or today is the Tosos, maybe one could argue that, in fact, that this is rooted in a machlokes tanaim and a machlokes amoraim, as follows. We know that arusa bas yisro ocheles v'truma. That's a sugya kedushin daf yud amud beis. After all, even after erisin, the definition of erisin keser shtar rabia is that the woman now is considered to be an eishes ish, but she is an eishes ish who is still beveis aviha. When you have nisuin, now she's considered to be an eishes ish who is the base habal. And that's why we pointed out that often the drasha of beso zuishto is not a reference to an arusa, but rather it's a reference to a nesua, right? When the Torah tells us in Parshas Matos, in base isha nadara, someone who is the household of the man makes the neder, that's referring to a nesua, where it's not a shared skusafara, But that hafar is exclusively that of the Baal. That's the pasuk of Beis Ishan Adara. Rashi in that sugyan, Kedushin Daf Yonah Beis, has a fascinating ha'ara that there seem to be two psukim that allow an Eishes Kohen, right, to eat truma. One is in Parshas Emor, another is in Parshas Korach. In Parshas Emor, there the pasuk says Kinyan Kasvo. And in Parshas Korach, Rashi writes, the pasuk says Kol Tahor Beveischa. And Rashi questions, what exactly is the difference in these psukim? So Rashi writes the following. The pasuk of Kol Tahor Beveischa, Parshas Korach, is only referring to a nesuah. A nesuah has the right to go into each truma. Why is it necessary to have the pasuk in Emor Vikra Chabez, right, of Kinyan Kasvo? That pasuk tells us even after the Kinyan Kesef, Kinyan Kesef is Lachar Erisin, that an Eishes Kohen is allowed to go ahead and to eat Truma. So that's a very important Chiddush. The Kinyan Kasvo, that's referring to an Arusa. Kotar Bebescha, Besu Zuishto, that's a reference to Inesua. That we saw when it comes to Afar Estadarim, that's the Suki Yuma Daf Yud Gimel, when it comes to Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol has to be married, right, in order to perform Avodas Yom HaKippurim, v'chifer bado v'adbeisa, beisu zuishto, the Bavli is mufurish. That beisu zuishto means erisin is insufficient. Beisu zuishto means nisuin. It's not enough simply to have erisin itself. In fact, or sameach, right, it's a very fascinating kiddush. It's found in Hilchos Trumos, in Perek Vav, Halacha Gimel, that if that really is true, you have two parshios, Emor in Korach, Arusa Nisua. The Or Sameach suggests the following great Chiddush, and that is that the theme of Parshas Emor is Achilas Truma. Parshas Korach is not limited to Achilas Truma. There it's referring to Matnas Kahuna in a general sense. For example, Chazav Ashok, not only Achilas Truma. Or Sameach suggests the possible Chiddush that after Erisin, an Eishes Kohen can only eat Truma, because that's the theme of the Pasuk of Kinyan Kasvo. The schus that an Eishes Kohen has in Shar Matanos, that's based on Parshas Korach, Kol Tahor Beveischa, that requires Nisuin. Erisin is considered to be insufficient. So that's a very important distinction, right? Arusa as opposed to Nisuin in terms of the role of the Isha. Midaraisa, though, is clear. Arusa bas Yisro ocheles bitruma. That's the din daraisa. The Gemara writes in Kedushin Daf Yonah Beis, however, that is not true midrabanan. Midrabanan, we require more than that. We require nisuin. Ein ha isha ocheles bitruma ad she tikaneis l'chupur. Even though midaraisa eris in midrabanan, nisuin is needed. Why is that true? Why is there a din rabbanan that we insist on nisuin? If the pasuk tells us that lachar erisin, that is considered to be good enough. So here you have two deos. The Gemara quotes the shita of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, which is also the shita of Ula, and that is we're afraid of shemetashke. Shemetashke. That after all, look, the husband is going to give his arusa truma, but where is she living? After erisin, she's an eishes ish, but she's still beveis abia. So she's going to come home with all this truma. You know what's going to happen? Right? It's going to be shared. People, her siblings, right, are going to partake of this truma. She is entitled. They certainly are not entitled. So therefore, Rabbi Ibn Beser and Ula maintained that no, how can you allow Lachar Erisin? We're concerned with the possibility of Shemetashke. So in principle, absolutely yes. But in practice, she will share this truma, and that certainly is Aser. Only she can eat it. No other. That's the Chiddush of Ula. And the Gemara quotes the Shita of Ben Bagbag, who disagrees and says the concern is simple. The concern is simple. Good, they had Erisin, but they didn't yet have Nisuin. And until Nisuin, there's a concern of a possibility of Kedushei Tolos. Simpon means Mumin. Rashi here points out the following, that a Simpon is something that breaks. For example, a Simpon shell shtar, like a receipt. Now, I have a shtar that says you owe me hundreds of dollars. I can go ahead and write to Simpon that this loan was paid up. So if I will produce the shtar to be gove, you'll produce the Simpon in order to be shoger, so to speak, to break the koach hashtar. So in such a case, Simpon here means that something can surface that will break the chalos issues. They were married, true. But let's assume, for example, there was a clear, right, mum, right, that this woman had. That very often will not be discovered until Nisuin, Lachar Erisin, that will not be known if it's a mum shebeseser. So therefore, let's assume the husband will come forward and say that, you know, I see now that there is a clear physical blemish, there is a mum that was not obvious at the time of Erisin. Sometimes that will result in a kedushay toos. Oh, what do you mean? She's been eating truma this entire time. And it turns out that the kedushin was a kedushay toos, and therefore she was eating truma, right, illicitly. So in such a case, Ben Bagav maintains, that's why midrabanan. We insist on nisuin. Erisin is insufficient because of the concern of simcha. So again, midar ICS, midrabanan, not two reasons, midrabanan, shemetashka or simcha. That's the sugya in kedushin daf yidam abeis. The Gemara daf yid aleph amar aleph in kedushin says the following, a very great chiddush. My beinayu. L'may nafka minu. What difference does it make whether the reason midrabanan is because of Rabbim Bebeseira or because of Ben Bagbag? What difference does it make? So the Gemara says the following, unbelievable. Ika beinayu, kibel mosar v'holach. The Gemara is nafka minas. Kibel mosar v'holach. I can come up with cases that one reason will apply and the other reason will not apply. Kibel. Kibel means the following. At the time of the Kedushin, the Baal affirms that he accepts upon himself any possible mum. He states explicitly that I forego the right to claim Kedushay Toz. Kibla besamumim. The concern of Shemetashke still applies, but Ben Bagba's concern of Simpon does not. So that would be a nafkamina. The Gemara has another nafkamina. What about a case, for example, of Masar? In a case of Masar, Rashi writes, Masar ha'av l'shluchei ha'baal. Let's assume, for example, she already left her house. She left the house of her father. The father already gave her over to the shluchim of the Baal. So Simpon is still an issue. We didn't yet have Nisuin. But Shemetashke, she already now is uprooted from the Beis Ha'av. So therefore, in the case of Masar, the reason Shemetashka is no longer applicable. The same thing is true when it comes to the case of Holach. If she already left the Beis Ha'av in such a case, Simpon yes, but Shemetashka no. So the Gemara says they're clear nafkaminas. The cases of Kibel, Masar, v'Holach. This Gemara, no doubt, right, is a very great Chiddush. Because the Gemara seems to be assuming the following, that if the reason of Shemetashke does not apply, or if the reason of Simpon does not apply, then no problem. Then she's allowed to go ahead and to partake of Achilas Truma. Right? To put it differently, the Gzeirid Rabbanan of Ein Ha'isha Ochalas B'Truma Ad Shetikanes L'Chupa is not a loophole. Only when the reason applies does the halakha apply. If the reason doesn't apply, then the gzera doesn't apply. That's a very great chiddush, mecha teisin. Don't we always assume that gzeros d'rabbanan are lo plug? Good, this was what motivated the chachamim to make such a gzera d'rabbanan. But why does the Gemara assume it's such a dover poshet may binayu? The Gemara should immediately answer, who says there's any nafkamina between them? These are two reasons for instituting the gzera, but mecha teisin, that the gzera only applies when the reason is considered irrelevant. When you look, for example, in the Gemara of Adazar, Daf Lamed Zayin, the Gemara writes that when the Chachamim made Gzeirosh, generally speaking, they hid the reasons. They hid the reason was not really so relevant, halacha lemaisa, and there was a fear among the Chachamim that if the reason was so publicized, people would argue, you know, that reason doesn't apply to me, and they wouldn't observe the Gzeirah Drabanan. Because the Gemara is very bothered. Sometimes you have cases, that's Sugya's Gvina Sarko. And the Gemara has so many possibilities. What is the reason for the gzeira of Gvinas Akum? So the Gemara says, why was it such a secret? And if you have a mitzvah daraisa, I understand you can have different dales. Says, what is the tami ha-mitzvah? What is the tam ha-kra? I understand that. If you have a gzeira d'rabanan, why is it such a secret? So that's exactly what the Gemara says. Because often the bezin that instituted the gzeira, right, were pretty secretive about the tam. And only sometimes generations later, after the gzeira already was a given and everyone was observing the gzeira, then the chacham would revisit the issue. What was the motivation? Because now they were confident that somehow the gzeira would not disappear if we assess its reason. Now, always, gzeiros are considered to be that which is below plug. So it's a fascinating issue. Just simply the fact that the Gemara says, right, my beinayu, seemingly is an indicator that for some reason, this Zerid Rabbanon is not a loplo. That itself requires biur. Furthermore, a difficulty with the sugya later in Kedushin, Daf Memhe Amadeis. Here the Gemara mentions the following case. You have a ketana, niskat shalidas avihon. The father goes in and marries a bito ketana that erisin. So good, that's a kedushin daraisa. The father has that skus. And all of a sudden, vaholcha aviha lemedina sayam. The father now went away to a far off country. They had erisin, that's it. And the father is not here. So va'am devenisei. So they just went through with the nisuin. So what happens? So amarav ocheles b'truma ad shiyavi aviha v'imche. You can go ahead and eat truma. If the father comes back and he objects to the nisuin, we'll talk about it. We'll deal with it. But we can go through with the nisuin. After all, right? This is not of the hat. The father was the one who performed the erisin. No. So in such a case, in that instance, she can go ahead and eat truma. All of a sudden, Rav Asi screams that how can that be? Eina ocheles. Of course, she can't go ahead and eat truma. Why is that? Shema yavo aviha v'imcha. Because after all, the father may return and absolutely object in his absence. Right? He sent him the bill, but he went through with the chasana. Right? That he would object to that was true. And the Gemara has the following phrase: v'nimseis zara ocheles b'truma l'mafrei. And if the father objects, turns out, zara ocheles b'truma l'mafrei. Zara, Bas Yisrael, is eating truma. How can that be? So Tosas, Dermasko v'nimseis, makes 2 points. Point number one is the following. Wait, that's not literal. Zara, what do you mean zara? Zara. Midaraisa rusa Bas Yisrael ocheles b'truma. Right? She certainly is entitled min ha-Torah. She's not a Zara. Right? She's entitled min ha-Torah. Her father married her off. That's clear that she certainly is entitled. So even though the Gemara sounds so dramatic, a Zara is eating truma. No. It just means midrabanan. Midrabanan there is a problem, but midaraisa, of course she's entitled. And then Tosus makes the second point. Wait, why is this even a problem? The reason midrabanan that she's not allowed to eat truma is either because of Shemetashke or Simpon. Neither reason applies. They already had Nisuin. Shemetashke is not applicable, right? They're living together Bebeis HaBaal. There's no possibility of Shemetashke. It's no worse than the case of Moser V'Halach. And they already had Nisuin, so there's no issue of Simpon as well. What Simpon? Kibel is sufficient. Here it was Lachar Nisuin. So Tosfos says, why shouldn't she be allowed the chatchila to go ahead and eat truma? Even if you'll tell me that the nisuin was illegitimate because the father was not present, shemiyabav v'imche, but shemetashke doesn't apply, simpon doesn't apply. So why shouldn't she be allowed the chatchila to go ahead and eat? So Tosfos gives what seems to be a simple answer. If you didn't know the earlier Gemara, Tosfos says that's not a difficulty because Gzeros Rabban are low plug. Good, the reason is Shematashke, the reason is Simpon, but low plug Rabbanon, Tosfos says. Tosfos is Mefurish. So I don't care whether the reason applies, the Gzera is binding of Ein Ha'isha Ocheles Petruma Achiti Kanes Lechopa. Tosfos says, Afilohachi, Lo chilko chachamim ben arusa la arusa. There's no difference because after all, right? Lo plug rabbanon. You know, lo plug rabbanon. The Gemara says in Dafir Aleph, right? Kiba masav halach. How do you deal with that, right? Apparent difficulty. This is a kasha that the Nesivas raises. It's found in the Beis Yaakov, right? The Chibur, the Nesivas on Meseches Ksuvas, right? And this is found on the Mishnah and Daf Nun Zayin. The Mishnah Daf Nun Zayin. What is that Mishnah? That Mishnah, right, that's quoted in the very first Daf Nun Tzuvus, the Beis Amud Aleph, Higia Hazman Dlonisais. Right, in earlier times, they used to have a break in between Erisin, right, and Nisuin. They used to have Erisin, and then it took time for the Chassan to be able to, right, take care of all the necessary arrangements to support his wife. So therefore, right, the Chachamim would give a reasonable amount of time up until a year for Nisuin. What happens if he gia hazman v'lo nisais? What happens if the year passes and still he's dragging his feet and there's no Nisuin? So therefore, the Mishnah Rishona says the following, Ocheles shalov ocheles petruma. Right, already look, the Chachamim are going to say to this husband, look, either get married or we're going to slap upon you, right, the chiyuv mezonos. So already, Higia Hazman Baloni says, Ocheles Mishlova, Ocheles Mishlova. That's what we call the Mishnah Rishona. Mishnah Rishona means there, right, the earlier period in Tanaim, the Mishnah Rishona. The Mishnah Achrona, the later day in Tanaim, was no, that's not true. Right, even if he's Yigia Zman Plonises, nonetheless, she cannot eat Truma. We'll slap upon him a Chiyum Mazonos. He cannot go ahead and give Truma to his wife at that point, because Nisuin did not yet occur. The Beis Yaakov suggests that the two deos of Tanaim in that Mishnah, Daphne and Zion, right, is exactly this point. If the only concern is literally when Simchon and Shematashka apply, so before the Chachamim will impose the chiyuv that he must give her truma, they will solve those problems. Right? The Gemara says, Shematashka duch kamiyachidla. We'll set up a separate area that she can go ahead and eat her truma. There's a problem of Simpon. We'll make sure that there are no mumim. We'll find out independently that there are no mumim, right, that will possibly surface. But the Mishnah Prona maintains no categorically required nisuin. In other words, the Nesivus writes a very great Kiddush that whether or not this is a low plug, the Nesivus claims it's a machlokes tanaim. It's a machlokes tanaim. And the Nesivus goes the next step and writes, and that's reflected in these two sugyas, Yud Aleph and Memhei and Kedushin, that Enochinami, right, are different deos. The Gemara Daf Yud Aleph of Mai Beinayu is assuming that this is not a low plug, and the Gemara Kedushin Daf Memhei Beis assumes that it is in fact a low plug. And the Nesivus writes very simply, this is a machlokes tanoim, machlokes asugyas, machlokes amarayim, whether or not this is a low plug or whether. Not the case. And that's the Kiddush that the Nesivus writes. Whether Simpon and Shematashke, that Gzeret Rabbanon is a low plug or it is not a low plug. That's Adkan and Nesivus. What exactly is the basis of this machlokes? Why should one assume that it is or is not a low plug? So perhaps this is an extension of what we discussed earlier, a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon of Darshina and Taima Dikra. When you look in the Mishnah in Bav Metzia and Daf Kuftes Vav Amad Aleph, the Gemara cites the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon as follows. Everyone agrees that part of the process of Limud HaTorah is Tamei HaMitzvos. That certainly is true. The great Chiddush of Rabbi Shimon is that, no, that Tamei HaMitzvos, Taima Dikra, is not only in the realm of Limud HaTorah, but one can limit or expand the scope of the halacha based on the reason. When the reason applies, the halacha applies. When the reason doesn't apply, then the halacha does not apply. And the example that Reb Shimon gives, that Mishnah, right, and Daf Tezvav, is the case of Lo Safko Beget Almana. The Torah says that you cannot take a collateral from an Almana. So Rabbi Shimon maintains that, why is that? Isn't the answer clear? It's because the almana has lost her husband, she's lost her source of income, she's coming to you in need, she's an aniya. And therefore it's inappropriate to demand a mashkon from her because of, right, her limited financial ability. But Rabbi Shimon maintains, if this was an almana ashira, who is very wealthy, who's coming to you to invest, what's wrong with taking on a mashkon from this type of almana? So Rabbi Shimon maintains that the isra vosacha beger almana only applies to an almana aniya. And the Mishnah tells us Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and maintains that no, that almana ben shi aniya ben shi ashira ein mamashkin in osa, categorically you cannot go ahead and be gova mashkon from an almana. The Gemara says that machlokes is called darshin in time of dekra, that according to Rabbi Shimon you can limit the halacha based on its reason. And Rabbi Yehuda maintains that certainly is not true. The Gemara raises now the following stira within the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. When it comes to a melech, the Torah tells us lo yar b'lo nashi. A melech cannot have an excess number of wives. Good. Rabbi Yehuda says yisa u'bavad shlo yeh mesira sesliba. Unbelievable. Yisa u'bavad shlo yeh mesira sesliba. That's okay. You can marry many women, Rabbi Yehuda says. Just make sure that these women will bring the melech closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, closer to Avodas Hashem. They will not go ahead and cause him to stray. No, the Gemara says, isn't that time of the crowd? So the Gemara answers, there's a marked difference between them. No, in the case of Osach Mo Beger Amana, the tam is not mafurish b'krav. The Torah doesn't say the reason. The Torah says lo sacha begamana, period. That's where Rabbi Yehuda says, what right do you have, based on your implied reason, to limit or expand the scope of the halacha? But in the case of Melech, if the pasuk says lo yarblo nashim v'lo yasu levavo, the pasuk says lo yasu levavo. There the tam is built in, and Rabbi Yehuda says there I would agree that darshin and tam dekra. That's a fascinating gemara, that whenever the Torah gives you the reason for a mitzvah, we assume that that's not just simply why, but rather that's built into the very fabric of halacha. That's part of the what question. Now, what is the halacha? Not just simply why, right? What is the rationale of the halacha? And therefore, if the pasuk says, "Lo yasa lavavo," therefore we have a right to go ahead and to limit the halacha based on the reason. That's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So that's a very, very great chiddush. And this has many different ramifications. That's that famous Rosh in Hilchos Sefer Torah in Siman Aleph, where the mitzvah Ksiva Sefer Torah is different. Bizman HaZez, it was in earlier times. And the Rosh explains, because the Pasuk says, Bata Kisva Lachem Es Hashira Hazos, V'lamda Az Bnei Yisrael Sima Befihem. The purpose of Ksiva Sefer Torah is to facilitate Limud HaTorah. And therefore, there's a world of difference when you're living in an earlier time when they would learn from Sifrei Torah, as opposed to the time of the Rosh, where that was not true. The Mechassinah, the Mitzvah Taryag, a lengthy discussion about the Mitzvah Ksiva Sefer Bezman Hazeh. But the Rosh already writes, it changed because the Pasuk says the purpose of Ksiva is to facilitate Limud, and therefore what form it takes clearly is something which is different. The Mishnah says in Sanhedrin Daf Mem Vav that for the purpose of Kavod Hameis, one can delay burial. How is that possible? The Pasuk says, Kavar Sik Perena Bayomahu. How can a Mishnah say that? What do you mean? It's okay. Mishum kavod. Kavod habriyos can't be docha isura daraisa bekum ve'esei. If the pasuk says there's an isra of halana sameis, what right do you have simply to go ahead and do delay? The answer, poshup shat, is the following, a darshin in time of the krav. When the Torah describes what is wrong with halana sameis, the pasuk says, ki kilas elokim toloi. It's a bizayon. It's a bizayon to kvod shamayim. It's a bizayon for the nifter. If that will not be a design at all, no one is abandoning the mace, but one is enhancing the kavod habrios, the Mishnah assumes that's considered himutter. Pashup shap, this is all part of that darshin and time of the Kra. We've discussed this not only in mitzvahs los asei, discussed this in mitzvahs asei when it comes to cases of sukkah and tzitzis and tefillin. Right, you can take a look at that, Bach and Tafrei Shchafei. Why the Machaber devotes a whole simon to the significance of sukkah? The answer the Bach writes is because there's shin in time of the crowd. Because if the pasuk says you have to sit in sukkah, but it tells us why, so understanding the why question is critical. That's part of the mitzvah yeshiva. And therefore a whole sin in Shulchan Aruch devoted to what is the significance of sukkah, and why we celebrate sukkah in this month, and not Chodesh Nisan, right? The Shulchan Aruch sounds almost like the Sefer HaChinuch. No, that's because here, Tama Kro is considered to be that which is critical. That's a very important yisod. Now, the next step is that this is not only true when it comes to dinim daraisa, darshin in time of the kra, this is also true when it comes to dinim darabanan islam. Kol ma detikun rabanan kein daraisa tikun. And mi daraisa, you have two models. Now you have some dinim daraisa where the tam is incorporated, it is part of. You have some cases where that's not true, where the tam is extrinsic, like losachal begaramana, where it is not considered to be part. The same very reasonably should be true of dinim derabanan as well. That sometimes when the chamim e'ek dinim derabanan, sometimes the tam is simply, why did the chachamim do so? What motivated them to make this gzeira derabanan? After all, you always have to have a reason for doing so. Sometimes, perhaps even more than that, that the tam hatakana is part of, like darshin and time of the krav. That wasn't just simply the secondary motivation, but that was primary. That was incorporated into part of the din derabanan as well. And that, l'chor, is relevant for the following issue. When do you assume batal tam, batal hatakana? When do you assume low plug? If the time is just what motivated the Chachamim to, then you understand very well. But nonetheless, the Din Rabbanan wasn't acted as a low plug. But if you'll have certain cases where the Tam is Mefurish Bekra, then everyone agrees Darshina. If you have cases where the Tam HaTakana was part of the Takana itself, then we should assume that Batal Tam, Batal HaTakana, the Takana is limited. Only if the rationale applies, then does the Takana apply. The challenge, of course, is the following. When it comes to Dinim Daraisa, we have a great litmus test. The Gemara says, just look in the pasuk. Look in the pasuk and see. I'll make it a little more complicated. You know, there's the Gemara Bava Metzia and Daf Tzadik, a fascinating Tosas Arash, found in Shittim Ugubetzes. Losach Bo Begin Amana, right, we discuss. Right? What about the case of Losach Sam Shobadisha? There's Nisr of Chasimi, Muslim animal. That's the whole source of the Marv of Malchus. No, our Bami Akenu. Yisro Chasima, of Sachsam Shorbedisha. The Gemara has there above Metzia Dav Tzadik the following. This animal is plowing for me. But it's plowing a type of grain that I know is very harmful, it's very detrimental for this animal. Right? If the animal eats, it's going to get very, very ill. So what do you do? No, what do you do? So a person will have no litvish. No, what do you mean? Losaksom shorbedisha. So therefore, I'll insist plowing without muzzling the animal. The animal will eat and then will die. Right. The Gemara says no, that's not true. Under those conditions, of course, bichosek the atara. Of course, do that. That's what the Rambam writes in Pirkei Gimel Tochas Chirus. The Rambam writes, the whole reason for the Isra of Losachsom Shorbedisho is for the betterment of the animal. The Ravid writes, that's the whole source of Tzar Balei Chaim. If failing to be chosen in the animal results in terrible tzar to the behema, so of course you have to be chosen. That's a Gemara. So Shittim Ugubetzes writes, the name of the Tosas Arash, and that Dab, but Metzia Dab Tzadi, the Tam is not Mefurish Bekra. Right? When it comes to Losachsom Shorbedisho, the Torah doesn't say exactly why, and maybe I would be inclined to say then that's more similar to Losach HaBegarman as opposed to Lo Yav Lo Noshim, but the Tosas Arash writes the following Chiddush, it's true, the Tam is not Mefurish Bekra, but the Tosas Arash writes, but in that case, the Tam is obvious. Obvious. It's obvious. It doesn't have to be Mefurish Bekra. It's a no-brainer. Isn't it obvious that the reason that chasim is usher is because that's not a way to treat an animal? But if it's to the betterment of the animal, then this chasim does not apply. So it is interesting, the Rush makes it a little more complicated. The Gemara writes, just look at the pasuk and see, is it there, is it not there? Right, the Tosas Rush just adds, even if it's not there, if it's something which is so obvious to us, if it's obvious, no, in such a case, that's also good enough. Apparently, according to Tosas Rush, Losach HaBegan Amana, it's not so obvious. It's not so obvious. You know, when you look at this, an example in the Sefer Achinuch, and the Losach HaBegan Amana, Tov Kuf Tzadi Aleph, there the Sefer Achinuch writes the following. You know why you're not supposed to be so demanding of an Amana? Sefer Achinuch writes because of her plight. Because of her plight. She just lost her husband, right? It's an Esar, it's not easy, right? Just psychologically. She comes to you for something, don't give her such a hard time. In other words, maybe Losach HaBegamana is not just simply a function of, right, the level of her investments in her bank account. There's more to it. There's more to it. Right? That maybe could apply even to a case of an Amana who's Nashira, a woman who had a tragic occurrence. In such a case, she comes to you with a request. Just grant it. Don't attach so many conditions, right, and demand a mashkan. But something which is so obvious, then we assume that that's true. So again, when it comes to Dinim Daraisa, the first thing you do is look in the pasuk. The second thing, the Tosas Rosh writes to see if the Tam is obvious or whether it is not. It's somewhat ambiguous. What about when it comes to Dinim Darabanan? That's very unclear, no? When it comes to a Din Darabanan, how do you know whether the Tam is explicit, whether the Tam is not explicit? How do you know what is true? There's sometimes it's obvious. Tosas writes, for example, in Beitz and Daf Hei, Let's assume, for example, a person violates an aver and doesn't put him in cheirim. They put him in cheirim for 3 days. I see the cheirim. It says, this person is put in cheirim for 3 days. Tosus writes, at the end of 3 days, you don't require a minyan achar lahatira. You don't require a new process to uproot the cheirim. It's obvious. It says in the cheirim that the whole institution, the Rabbanon, was for a limited window of time. So if that's true, if the time is built into the decree of Beis Din, so obviously it's built in. You don't require minyan achar lahatira. See, Tosfos is really bothered because part of the makaros of the sugya of minyan achar lahatira is Kabbalah Satora, where the pasuk says, "Hiyei nechonim l'shlosha sayamim." You prepare yourself for 3 days, al tik shalisha. So Tosfos is very bothered. How can you derive shuv aleichem aleichem, the need for minyan achar lahatira? What do you mean? It says in the pasuk, 3 days, no? Isn't that built in? No, after 3 days, there should be no issue. No? That's what Tosfos writes. Tosfos says, but it's not beforeish at all in the pasuk. Because when the pasuk says, Hiyei nechonim l'shlosha sayamim, Hiyei nechonim yom hashlishi, the two psukim, it doesn't say that, and afterwards, there's a heter of tashmish. Maybe it means prepare yourself for what's going to happen in 3 days from now, Kabbalah Satorah. And maybe, and from then on, the pasuk doesn't say that the iser of al tik shalish only applies for 3 days. It says prepare yourself for what is going to happen in 3 days, and that's why you require minyan achar lahatira, shuv aleichem. No. But if it would be obvious that an iser is time bound, you don't require minyan achar lahatira. Okay, so that'll help us, like in those cases, right? When you have right a tzivui of Beis Din, which is time bound, good. So therefore, when the time expires, the takana, right, is batel is one. So another principle: if you look in Hilchos Tzitzis and Siman Tes, here the Shulchan Aruch quotes, the Rama quotes the Tshuva Sarash. The Tshuva Sarash is in Klal Beis. Tshuva Sarash writes the following. When you look in the Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Tzadik and Veis, the Gemara discusses the cases of Akiras Dav Minator. And one of the cases of Akiras Dav Minator is Sadin B'tzitzis. Sadin B'tzitzis. Midar Aisa, a person has a linen four-cornered garment, he is certainly obligated to wear tzitzis. Certainly. The Chachamim face the following reality. You know what? There were people that were peddling false tchelas. False tchelas. And people who thought that they had tchelas would go ahead and be affixing the wool tzitzis dyed with this colored ilan on a linen garment, violating the iser of shatnez without full fulfillment of the mitzvah of tzitzis. Acham did not want that to happen. So the Chachamim declared, right, as Nakiras Dav Min HaTorah, that's it. No tzitzis on a linen garment. Period. No tzitzis on a linen garment. Not even linen tzitzis. You could put linen tzitzis on it. No, we don't want any tzitzis on a linen garment for fear that it could lead to an Isser of Shanas. That's a Gemara. The Rush, the Tshuva Sarash, Klal Beis, writes he was very surprised because he saw in certain communities, lo and behold, people were putting tzitzis on a linen garment. They were putting linen tzitzis on a linen garment. It's against the Gemara. So the Rush writes the following chiddush that no, maybe there is a justification for that. Because the whole concern of the Gemara was Akira Sarva Min HaTorah because of Kala Dila. And the Rush writes in his time that was not a concern. People were peddling false tcheles, and it wasn't resulting in a violation of shatnez. So therefore the Rush writes that, no, it's an understandable practice, because if the reason for the takana doesn't apply, therefore the takana is batal takana. That's what the Rama writes the following, right? The very, in Hilchos Tzitzis, in Siman Tes, right? In Sif Yud, the Mechaber writes the following. If a person just says a talis shel pishtan, Mutav shiyaset talis shel pishtan v'tzitzis shel pishtan. If only tzitzis you have are linen, so put linen tzitzis on linen garment. That's better than not wearing any tzitzis at all. Shubasarash, Klal Beis. Why is that true? What about, again, the Gemara is mafurish that there's a takana not to do so. Rashi says, no, it doesn't apply. So this is the chiddush that the Mishkanos Yaakov writes. And the Mishkanos Yaakov has a separate sefer which is called the Koheles Yaakov. And the Choshen Mishpat, the Simon Beis, he writes the following. So this is somewhat helpful. He writes the following chiddush. It could very well be that Dinim Drabbanan, generally speaking, are low plug. Because the reason is secondary. The reason is not built in. Unless you know differently. That also is an extreme case. You see the Nusach of the Cherim, it's built in. The Mishkan Yaakov writes, based on the Shuvah Sarash, I'll tell you an exception. And that exception is Akira Stav Minato. When the Chachamim are making a takan or a gzer with something which otherwise is a dvar shos, so fine, the Chachamim have the right to go ahead and do so. If something is explicit, right, that this is a mitzvah daraisa, and the Chachamim say, no, we are not going to allow you to fulfill that mitzvah daraisa, don't they have to have a very good reason for doing so? No, it's clear. No, that's the Gemara Yitzin Yivamos Nav Tzavik Mabeis. It always has to be a chalal Shabbos achas, kishim shal Shabbos asarbe. Like the Rambam writes in Perek Beis of Elchus Mamrim. Sometimes it's necessary. Right? Kishem sharofei choteich evrecha. Right? Sometimes a doctor, a chmul etzlan, amputates a limb to save a body. Why is the doctor doing so? The tam better be, right, critical. When the chachamim are engaged in akiras davim in atorah, there, that's the chiddush Mishkanos Yaakov writes, based on this Tshuvas HaRosh, there the tam must be part of. There the tam has to be built in. The chachamim do not have a koach per se of just running roughshod over dinim daraisa. They have the ability to balance. They have the ability to make the hashara. We're concerned. Ki shofar on Shabbos is going to result in a chilul Shabbos. And we have the responsibility of determining what to do, and therefore you can have a gzer of Shemi Avirenu. The Chachamim do not have the koach to say, forget the mitzvah of shofar. They have a right to say it's more important to safeguard Shabbos at the expense of. That's the shikol hadas that the Rambam writes of the Rofe, v'schoteich ever echad. In a word, the Mishnah Yaakov writes the following chiddush, that akiras davar min haTorah can never be below plug. And akiras davar min haTorah cannot be below plug. There, the tam obviously is inherent. The Chachamim do not have a koach to tell you, go against dinim. They have the right to say, we're afraid. Chalal Shabbos Achas. But there, the Chalal Shabbos Achas is critical. This is an example. In Siman Shin Gimel, in Archaim, that's where the Mechaber writes, this great chiddush, this daya, that there's no reshus harab b'zman hazeh. No reshus harab b'zman hazeh. So if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, the Ramaskah b'hashta, so the Mishnah Berurah just writes that if that really is true, there's no reshus harab, not just your neighborhood, anywhere. So why is it that we are not tokeh b'shofar and Rosh Hashanah b'Shabbos? Why is it that we're not no to dalet minim and sukkos falls out on Shabbos? There's no shemi ravi renu. What, the Mishnah Berurah did not know of lo plug? Mishnah Berurah is assuming, like this Mishkanos Yaakov, like the Tshuvas HaRosh, that when it comes to Akiras Derev Min HaTorah, yeah, the reason has to be relevant. There's no low plug when it comes to cases such as Akiras Derev Min HaTorah. That's a very interesting chiddush. That's what the Mishnah Berurah assumes, that's the case in the Mishkanos Yaakov, that's the Tshuvas HaRosh. It's very mistaber. A doctor, Rachman al-Islam, amputates a limb to save a body, it better be necessary. No, it can't just simply be like a hunch. No, the tam is critical, right? In order to justify what we consider to be an akira stav min haTorah. And if the reason is not, then that would not apply. And the Koheles Yaakov gives other instances as well, where if something is an akira stav min haTorah, the reason has to be pressing, the reason has to be relevant, and the Rosh 100% correct, that if the reason of Kol Din is not relevant, then put tzitzis on a linen garment, if in fact necessary. That could help us right? Just simply in the following our issue. This is what Roshetra suggested, just to understand this machlokes tanoim as follows. You have a case, right, of midaraisa rusa basisha lechalas petruma. And the chachamim say no, right? Ad shetikanes lechopa. Ad shetikanes lechopa. And the Nesivos claims you have a machlokes tanoim, machlokes amaroim, machlokes asugi, is it aleph men hey? Is this a low plug or is this not a low plug? If the reason doesn't apply, does the halakha apply? Does it not apply? So perhaps one could suggest the following issue, that maybe that's dependent, right, on our exact issue. The gzeir drabanan, tashke, simpon, achitikanes lechupa, is that called an akira stavra min haTorah, or is that not? If it is an akira stavra min haTorah, then that should not be a low plug. That's why the Gemara screams that my minayu. What's the difference between them? The answer is kiba masav halach. If this is not an akira stavra min haTorah, so low plug rabbanon. Maybe that is exactly this machlokas asugi is. But the Nesivos claims is a machlokas tanaim. Whether one should label this as an akira stavra min haTorah or whether one should not, and what should that be based on? Maybe that's exactly based on our issue. When the Torah states that arusa bas yisrael ocheles betruma, what exactly does that mean? Is that a mitzvah sachila? Or is that just simply not a mitzvah sachila? That is called e chilul kedusha satruma. It's like behema. If there's a mitzvah sachila, the Chachamim are saying that no, we are not going to allow you to fulfill the mitzvah sachila. That, perhaps, is considered to be an akiras tovah min haTorah. If this is not a mitzvah sachil, this is like a behemas koi that eats, in such a case, that is called a dvar rashus. In which case, this is not a kiras tovah min haTorah, and therefore you can have that which is a low plug. Perhaps the possibility that this is not just, right, the issue of the Mishnah Rishona against the view of the Zera Avram, maybe this is the critical issue in determining as to whether or not you can have the gzera of shemetashker simplon, right, as a low plug. Is there a mitzvah sachila or is there not? And maybe one could go a step further and distinguish as follows. During the stammer, when it comes to behemas kohen, it's not a mitzvah sachila. Right, that's kinyan kasma. That's true. When it comes to an eved of kohen, the today isn't also. What about when it comes to an ashes kohen? When it comes to an ashes kohen, maybe one could suggest the following chiddush. You know, it's not simply incidental that Rashi. There are two psukim. One for Arusa, right, and one for Nesua. Why is it necessary to have two psukim? Obviously, you can't just have the pasuk of Nesua. How would you know Arusa? But once you have the pasuk of Arusa, of Kinyan Kaspo, why is it necessary to have, right, a pasuk in Parshas Korach that tells us a Nesua? Of course a Nesua. And Arusa is allowed to go at need. Why need a pasuk for Nesu at all? Right, if you assume that great Chiddush of Or Sameach, okay, right, that pasuk of Nesu is talking about all matnas kuna, and the pasuk of Kin Kaspo is only talking about Truma. But if that's not the case, Pashup Shat, that is not the case. So obviously you need the pasuk of Erisin, but once you have Erisin, what do you need the pasuk of Nesuin for? Maybe one can assume an interesting possibility, and that is maybe this issue, you can split Erisin and Nisuin. Erisin is derived from Kinyan Kaspo. Kinyan Kaspo. Maybe then I'll argue as follows. Kinyan Kaspo is not the mitzvah. Kinyan Kaspo is the rishus. That's like a behemas kohen. Kinyan Kaspo. Because she is not, right, Enesua. She is not the ishto kagufo. She is not besuzu ishto. There was a Kinyan Kesed, that is the Rishus. Once you have Nisuin, perhaps we can assume that no, that's a Tosefes Kedusha. Once you have Nisuin, so Achar Nisuin, right, her son will have a Kedushas Kohen, right, her daughter is a Bas Kohen. No, they're entitled to go into each Ruma. Perhaps if their Kedusha is not going to, right, rise above, that which she possesses as well. Maybe one could argue v'dafka you have two psukim, because right in lamdas there's a world of difference whether her achilas truma is betoras erusa or betoras nisua. Arusa, that maybe is a dvar rishus, and therefore maybe one can envision that considered be considered as a lo plug. But maybe that would not be true of a case of a nisua. This issue about what exactly is the role of the Eved of the Kohen, the Eishes Kohen, Behemas Kohen, this also is very relevant, right, for the Tosas and our Sugya, right, and the Rambam and the Pirush Mishnayis as well. See, our Gemara says the following, that Rav Meir maintains that Shichur is considered to be detrimental to the Eved, because Uma Ilo Eved Kohen Shabarach. What happens if right, David just runs away from the Adam? Before Shichur, he would still be entitled to Truma. But Lachar Shichur, Eino Ochel. So therefore, don't you see, it's detrimental to be an Eved Meshuchar. Tosus is bothered, Dermas V'Shavik. Tosus, he writes in our Sugya the following. It's clear from the Gemara that an Eved who escapes can eat Truma. That's Rav Meir's argument. No? After Shichur, not. But Eved Shabarach can. So Tosus is bothered by the following. What do you mean? How can he go ahead and continue to eat truma? Tosus says that lechush shema marcha li Yisrael. Maybe the Adam can sell it. He'll never know. Maybe the Adam will reason that, you know, what use is it for me to own this Eved? He escaped. Let me try to sell it to somebody else. And he'll sell it to a Yisrael. And eno ochel. So Tosus is bothered, what right does he have when he's on the run to eat truma? Maybe he is no longer the Eved of a Kohen. So Tosus answers, you don't have to be so concerned about that because it's very unlikely. Because it's very unlikely that you are going to buy from someone else an Eved Shabarach. Right? A Kohen approaches you and says, you know, I have an Eved Shabarach, you want to purchase him? Right? The likelihood is that you're not going to do so. So Tosus writes that Lo Shchia Shik Neil Yisrael Me'achar Shabarach. So in such a case, you don't have to worry about that. The Tosus Harash even goes a step further. The Tosus Harash writes the following, that no, Bidafka, the Adon is not going to be Meshachar him because She'eno Rotzen Lahachshino. I know that it's on the run. I know it's going to be hard for him to find food. He's probably going to take advantage of the fact that he can eat truma. If I'm mishachar him, he'll be eating b'isr, eating b'avera. So I bedafka the Tosfos Rosh writes, I'm not going to be mishachar him because that'll be lifnei iver. As a result of what I do, he will be eating truma b'avera. Right? Interesting issue. Rabbi Chanan in Kobetz Ha'aros, right, in Yevamos, in Simen Mem Zayin, and Sivkot and Aleph, Beis and Gimel, Rabbi Chanan writes the following chiddush. He quotes the Rambam, right, in our sugya, on the Mishnah Daf Yud Aleph and Beis. When the Chachamim responded to Rabbi Meir, he said, no, but being free, that's a schluss. Right? I, Truma, no. The reason that you can eat Truma is Mipnei Shehu Kinyana. What exactly does that mean? Bipnei shu kinyana. So the Rambam is kimat mafurish. The Rambam in the Pirush Mishnah is mafurish like, but the Zera Avram writes. The Rambam says when the Chachamim responded, Bipnei shu kinyana, you know what the Chachamim meant? Exactly this issue. The fact that an Eved of a Kohen is allowed to eat Truma, or the fact that an Eved of a Kohen is Mutar B'Shivcha, and as a result of Shichra, now he cannot marry Shivcha, and he cannot eat Truma. The Rambam writes, that's not because, as an Eved, he had any Tosefes Kedusha. And now, by being free, that is a Griusa. His status is reduced. That's not true. The reason that he is Mutter B'Shivcha, and the reason he can eat Truma, is not a function of any Tosefes Kedusha. That's Mipnei Shuhu Kinyan Kasto. Because he's owned by the Adam. And the Rambam writes, just as a behemoth Kohen eats Truma. That's Mufurish, here in our Mishnah. That's what the Chachamim mean. When the Chachamim say Mipnei Shuhu Kinyano. You're right, there's certain practical benefits. But you cannot call this schus. Because those practical benefits not emanate from any Tosefis Kedusha, they emanate the fact that he is considered to be Kinyan Kasvon. The Rambam writes the exact mashal. It's like a case of Behemas Kohen. If you look in the Tosos Yantif, in our Mishnah, the Tosos Yantif quotes its Rambam and he's somewhat bothered that this beautiful lundus, the Rambam, doesn't seem exactly to fit in with what our Gemara says. Our Gemara says that the reason that Chachamim said it is not Iskus is not because of this fancy lundus, it's not Noveya from the Tosefes Kedusha of the Eved, but rather from Kinyan Kaspo of the Adam. Right, the Gemara says very practically, the E boy shoket dalad zuzim Yisrael, possibly, because he can just sell him off to Yisrael. A poshup shot, maybe one could argue that teinachinami. That's how the Rambam understood the Gemara. Right, the fact that the Adon can just sell him to someone else, and this schus of achilash truma is paka, that's an indicator that it is not because of the inherent status of the Eved, but rather just a function of Kinyan Kaspo, like Behemas Kohen. Maybe that's exactly what the Gemara means. The fact that Dodon can just sell him off so simply. Rabbi Chanan writes in the Kovetz Aras, this is now in Simem Zayin in Sivkot and Beis, that both reasons, the reason that the Gemara mentions, Iboy Shokol Dalet Zuzem Yisrael, and the Rambam's lundus, that it's not a function of Tosefes Kedusha, but rather Kinyan Kaspo, both in fact are necessary. Right? The Rambam's reason conceptually, and that is we don't consider conceptually Shichro to be a reduction in the status of the Eved. Because it's not that he possesses a Tosefes Kedusha now that is being stripped of him when he's freed, because it's all a function of Kinyan Kaspo. And furthermore, but the two reasons are Mashlimim Zezeh, and practically speaking, Yad Ha'adon Laposlo, both are indicators that conceptually there's no Tosefes Kedusha, and you'll tell me, practically speaking, that he won't be able to eat Truma, that can be denied him anyway. Because at any point in time, they don't go ahead and sell. But that's the chiddush that the Rambam writes. The Rambam here, that achilas shura for an eved, again, it's not because of Tosefes Kedusha, because of Kinyan Kaspo. Rabbi Chanan goes a step further and uses this argument to address Tosus's question. Tosus is bothered. Lechu Hashem Amracha LeYisrael. Don't you have to be concerned that maybe, right, the Adon, who's a Kohen, will sell this Eved, so how can the Eved go ahead and eat? So Tosus answers, it's remote. Or the Tosus Harash, there's an element of Avera which is involved. Isn't there a much simpler answer? Isn't the simple answer that l'halacha we have a right to rely on Chazaka, on a Chizkas Heter? Don't we have a right to rely on Chazaka? A person has a Chezkas Heter Lechol B'Truma. So in doubt, don't we have a right to rely on such a Chazaka? What do you need the Tosus or Rush's argument for? That there it could result in Lif Neiver, or Tosus's question of how Shriach it is? If the Eved has a Chezkas Heter of Achilash Truma, why should we assume, right, that is not the case unless we definitively know otherwise? And this is found beforeish in the Rashba and Kedushin Daf Memhe. This is what Rabbi Chanan calls. Here you have a fascinating machlokas Rishon. Kedushin Memhe Mar Aleph, Dermasku Ule Inyan. The Rashba writes this. You have a girl who's a ketana, and the father, right, went off to some faraway country. He's not here. And va'amda ima v'kidsha. So because the father, in his absence, the mother went ahead, right, and married her off. Right, that's kedushin d'rabbanan. Kedushin d'rabbanan. Not the raisa. It's kedushin d'rabbanan. So the Rashba quotes the Chachmei Tzarfas that said, Asur lezesh miskat shelo. She can't go ahead and remain married to that person. Why? Dilma kibo ba avia kedusha me'acher. Maybe the father worked out something else. So therefore, the Chachmei Tzarfas is some achidish that she cannot marry anyone else because perhaps the father, right, was mekadal kedushin on her behalf. The Rashba continues and quotes Rabbi Yotam that disagrees. Rabbi Yotam writes, "What do you mean? The kol shata v'shata b'teira kaimen. She has a cheskas heter. She has a cheskas pnuya. You have to assume that no, she really is nashis ish." Unless we know definitively that way, we don't have to assume that the father was mekabel kedushin at all. And therefore, Rabbi Yotam writes that no, that there's no reason that we cannot take advantage of this new kedushin. And Rabbi Yotam continues and brings the raya from this line in our Gemara. Rabbi Yotam writes, and the raya is from exactly our sugya, Eved Shebarach, Eved Shebarach. And Eved Shebarach is also the truma. Don't you have to be concerned that maybe the Adon was Meshachar him? The answer is that no, you don't have to be concerned. Chazaka allows us to assume that personal status is maintained. And unless you otherwise don't have to assume that all of a sudden this Puni is Neshes Ish, or all of a sudden this Eved is Neved Meshachar. Rabbi Yotam brings the Raya from our sugya. And the Rashba continues and writes, no, it's not an exact raya, interestingly. Right? The Rashba writes, maybe it's because of our Tosus, that it's very remote, that I was able to sell an Eved who was on the run. Or the Tosus Arash, that the Adon is not going to be so willing to go ahead and to sell the Eved, because he gemash shom b'aveira. Right? But a fascinating issue. Rabbi Yotam writes that it is because of the Cheskas Heter, very disturbing. Why does Tosus have to seek out any other reason? Why not just simply assume that there's a cheskas heter of achilas truma? So Rabbi Chanan writes an interesting chiddush, and you have to take a look. This he develops. He writes the chiddush as follows: that is this really called a cheskas heter? A cheskas heter. He writes the chiddush that if you assume, like the Rambam Shita, that the only reason that an Eved eats is not because of any Tosefes Kedusha of personal status, but rather simply as a function of Kinyan Kasva, you cannot invoke, right, a Cheskas Heter. Cheskas Heter is a matter of personal status. A person has a Cheskas Kohen, a person has a Chazaka that is Kashum Avoda. If an Eved per se would have a Tosefes Kedusha V'Achilas Trum, you can assume that that is the case. If, however, that is not true, for example, right, if you have a Safek, whether this is a Behema Shel Kohen, there, Rabbi Chanan writes, he doesn't think you can invoke a Cheskas Heter L'Achol B'Truma. The animal has a Cheskas Heter. The animal doesn't have a schus of achilas truma independently. It is all a function of ownership, of kinyan kasvo. That is not a cheskas heter of isurim. The most you could argue is there's something which is called a cheskas marakama. A cheskas marakama means that we can assume in dinim amanos that he was the rightful owner. But you know what? A cheskas marakama is operative in Dini Mamanos, but it will not help you in the realm of Yisurim. That's the Kiddush that Rabbi Chanan writes. So good, he says, you can have a Cheskas Marakam in Dini Mamanos, but a Cheskas Heter in Isur Veheter is a function of personal status, and that is the Kiddush that would not be applicable in this particular case. That's a fascinating Kiddush that Rabbi Chanan suggests, that why one would disagree with simply arguing that there's a cheskas heter, you can run the chazaka, like Rabbi Yotam maintains. Why is it necessary for Tosfos to give any other reason at all? Just a concluding point, if you take a look in the Nesivos in Shin Samach Gimel, Sivkot Aleph, the Nesivos questions Tosfos entirely. Let's assume, for example, right? You steal something from me. Gozal b'loni siyashu habalim. Shnemeni yachal ha'akdisho. I can't be makdish if you can't be makdish. You can't be makdish, not yours, but I can't be makdish because it's inner b'shusim. It's inner b'shusim. So the Sivas raises a pretty critical issue. If you have an Eved Shabarach, can the Adam sell him? Can the Adam sell him? Can a person sell something which is Eino B'shuso? That's the Chiddush that the Nesivas discusses. Maybe you have no right to go in to sell him, but it's not meaningful. We discussed before, Shalo B'shuso, Kedush Adam, Kedush Saguf. In order to have a Mechira, it has to be absolutely yours. You can't be Makdish Darashin Abrashusa. Can you be Makne Darashin Abrashusa? Nesivas said, just maybe not. And that Nesivas is very important for an earlier discussion that we had. And maybe you'll tell me what I mean. It's an Evid. And an Evid is Dino Kakark, and Kark is in Exelis. Kark is Abrashusa. That's where the Nesivas writes, yeah, it's true. An Evid is Dino Kakarka. But when you're dealing with a practical issue as to whether something is Abrashusa or whether it's not, you don't equate an Evid to Karka. Karka is fixed, it's lonaidi, it stands, and therefore Karka in an exelis. But an Evid, right, who goes from place to place, if I am clueless in terms of where this Evid is located, how can you say in an exelis, therefore the Evid is Bershusi, that I have a right for Mechirna? Now, so the Nesivas writes that in the case of an Evid Shabarach, right, perhaps you have no right to sell the Evid. You have no right to sell the Evid at all. And the Nesivas tries to then reinterpret our Gemara. Isn't that how our Gemara interprets Rav Meir's Akash and the Chama statement? What do you mean? It's a Sfus. I can sell this Evid anytime I want. I can sell this Evid even though the Evid is on the run. Right? The Nesivas writes, no. When our Gemara says Evid Shabarach, it really doesn't mean, right, when the Evid is absolutely on the run, where I'm clueless in terms of its location, where it's Eino Rishusi, maybe in that particular case, one cannot go ahead and do so. So take a look if you can have that Nesivas. And the new Nesivas, if you take a look in the footnotes, it has a fascinating Ha'ara of the Ein Yitzchak and a Ha'ara of Rabbi Kiveger on this Dion of the Nesivas. To what extent we consider an Evid Shabarach to be Eino Bershusa, and therefore to argue that it's not subject to Mechira at all. The Pashup Shat Nartosis that no, it is subject to Mechira. The only reason that we're not concerned about that, right, is because the difficulty, the scarcity of finding buyers, or the Tosas Harash, one will be Machshil, or again, right, that Chiddush of the Rambam Shita, that is there or is there not a Cheskas Heter for Achilas Truma? And that the Rambam seems to argue, as he mentioned, that's a function of the Schus Achila. If there's a Kadusha, so to speak, of an Eved Shal Kohen that allows for Achila, then one could envision a Cheskas Heter. However, right, if it's just a function of Kinyan Kaspo, then the Cheskas Heter if Isurim is not relevant. It's just a Cheskas Marakam of Dina Mamanos. And again, that perhaps that would not help for the case of Achilashtram. Okay. I think at the beginning tomorrow, Shir, we'll start discussing.